I'm Laura Ingle, Fox News Radio, and we are spending a few moments with Robert O'Neill in studio with us here today.
Hello. Thank you, Laura, for having me.
And, you know, you're kind of famous for some very important reasons. You're here today to talk about your book, but of course you are the man who fired the shots that killed Osama bin Laden.
Yes.
Navy SEAL. And, of course, that is part of the name of the book, The Operator.
The Operator, yes.
Beautiful it's cover a, on this
the
book.
Title means the story of the life of the operator. There's a lot of operators out there, every branch of service, and I was one of them. Fortunate to be picked for a lot of the high-profile teams, very, very good teams that did very, very important stuff, and just it was the biggest honor I can imagine.
So, SEAL Team 6.
Well, I'm not allowed to say which team. We did put this through the Pentagon, and
yes,
we got it vetted, and they frowned on several different numbers, so I won't get into some numbers.
SEAL Team 6 is what we hear a lot about. We hear it in the movies. We hear it in the news. You know, you hear that a lot. So it's good that you know that they gave you that direction and that you clarify that for us.
The Pentagon was very good to me because this is the first book about the bin Laden raid by an operator that was cleared by the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. And they were very good to me. And so I'm just going to respect their wishes now.
So we go back a few years to you starting to talk about this, mm-hmm, because you gave, I believe, the first interview to Fox News.
To Fox News, yes.
Mm-hmm. And I remember hearing that we were going to find out who the operator, mm-hmm, was, who, mm-hmm, the gunman was, mm-hmm, you know, and it was so exciting to finally meet you through television and radio and to get to know you that way. And here we get an opportunity to sit and talk with you about that. So it's been a couple of years since you've had,
yes,
the story out. And when did you start writing this book? And it's more than just that mission that you write
about.
Oh,
yeah, it is. That mission is going to be chapter 22, maybe 23, because,
okay,
it's that we did so much stuff even before 9/11 as a group that I was so fortunate to be a part of. And a lot of the stories are even more interesting than the bin Laden story. You know, we were doing stuff in the Persian Gulf. Well, my team took down a Russian tanker that was smuggling Iraqi oil, right before the, 2000. So, you know, the story's in there and it's good, but this is more of a journey through the one example of a life at an operator that, you know, from Butte, Montana, not knowing how to swim and then becoming a Navy SEAL and being on some of the—
I heard that about you. How is that possible?
I just learned. It was, I went to the pool after signing, so I'm committed and I can't swim. And I ran.
Wait, when did you learn to swim? How old?
Well, I mean, I could keep myself alive.
Right.
But no one taught me how to do the backstroke, the breaststroke, the
right,
side. No one really.
You didn't do the YMCA thing.
No, I didn't. And I went to the pool at the college where I was actually playing basketball. I ran into a friend that I went to high school with who was going to go swim at Notre Dame. And he said, it's great to see you, but I've never seen you here. What's going on? I said, I just joined the Navy. I'm going to be a SEAL. And he said, oh, not like that. You're not. Get back in the pool.
Wow.
So he worked with me and showed me the strokes I would need to hopefully survive the test they would give me in SEAL training. And it helped a lot, but I was by no means.
So what's the test?
The test to get into SEAL training is not that difficult. It's a run, a swim, pull-ups, push-ups, and sit-ups. And the swim is the first thing you do. It's 500 yards, breaststroke or side stroke, which it's not that much, and especially considering what they're going to put you through. That,
right,
that's the past part of a test that might get you to SEAL training.
I see.
Then in SEAL training, the longest swim we did was an ocean swim. We actually did it. It's in the book. We're one of the few classes to do the 5.5 nautical mile ocean swim twice in 4 days.
Wow.
You only do it once in SEAL training, but because the instructors, they pulled some funny pranks on us, not all of us finished. We did it, I think, on a Thursday or Friday, came into class on Monday, and they said, hey, we're not doing class, get your fins. Since everyone didn't finish, we're all doing it again. And Buds, the SEAL train instructors are really, really mean, but this was so mean, I was like, that's got to be a joke. There's no way we're doing that again. And funny things happened with us trying to sneak Snickers bars in our wetsuits and all that stuff. And that's one test. But I did learn how to swim the hard way, and it paid off.
So how long does it take somebody to become a SEAL team member?
You need to get into SEAL training, which is in Coronado, California, and it's 26 weeks of the initial training. Once you finish that, when I went through, it was another 13 weeks of tactical training, and then it's about 6 months of a probationary period full of tests, and then you get the insignia for Naval Special Warfare, which is the Trident. Then you get into a group that we called platoons at the time. They still do it, I believe. That platoon trains for about a year, year and a half together. Then they'll send you overseas. So two and a half years after you enlist, you might be overseas as a SEAL. But it's a lot of training, a lot of shooting, a lot of diving.
I guess I always thought that to be a Navy SEAL, you had to do years, maybe not decades, but years and years of something else first.
No, some people do.
Like
some,
undergrad?
Some people do. They do join the Navy and have jobs on a ship, jobs on a sub, air crew, something like that. But a lot of guys now are going into the Navy to be SEALs. And the Navy's actually getting smarter about it. They're doing the contracts right. They're kind of pipelining the guys in there, which is a good and bad thing. They get them ready for it. But they might also get the – they might start to think they're special before they're special.
Right.
Because if everyone's special, no one's special.
And I want to get to all these great tales that you have told in this book. But just my last question on becoming a Navy SEAL is – you know, what, for people who don't know, how, what is your definition of a Navy SEAL? Tell me what it means.
It's an example of someone who won't quit, who's going to keep going until it kills him. Someone that knows how to work as a team and someone that's very, very loyal. Mission success, positivity. You know, mm-hmm. they will find a way to get it done. It might not be the way we planned, but it's going to get done. And humility. They're great people.
And did I read you've completed over 400 missions?
Yes.
How long does something like that
well,
take?
Well, I was in the Navy for just under 17 years.
Okay.
And I didn't take a break. I was deploying. I was constantly on what we call sea duty.
Mm-hmm.
So I was deploying from the time I got to SEAL Team 2 in 1997 up until my last deployment was 2011, 2012. I actually did one more deployment to Afghanistan, a combat deployment after the Bin Laden raid.
Okay.
So it wasn't that was not the last gunfight I was in. We did it again.
So do you find it, so some people are hearing your story now, and I know that you've given a lot of interviews, but a lot of people didn't know that you were involved in Captain Phillips.
Right.
Into that operation. So tell people about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, that was one too. What's unique about this book is we'll find that, like, it's the same group of guys that were picked for these high-profile missions. We happen to be, you know, a lot of it is being lucky better than good. We're in the right place. A lot of us, our first deployment with this Tier 1 unit was to go after the lone survivor, Marcus Luttrell. So we were part of the team that rescued him, which mm-hmm. obviously made a movie out of. I was in my daughter's classroom on my birthday, April 10th, 2009, and then 16 hours later, we're in the Indian Ocean to rescue Richard Phillips. So we were on that. And that, you know, they made a movie out of that. A lot of different things happened. It's actually a lot cooler what really happened.
Okay.
Because it's the reality. These are normal guys that do exceptional things. And wow, they just did something amazing. And even talking to the sniper afterwards and saying, you just did the most amazing thing in the history of Navy SEALs. And he's like, yeah, cool. Can we go home?
Yeah.
That's it. And then
that's
trying to
job.
Get back, we didn't know how to get back, you know. And then.
They don't book you a return ticket?
Well, no one thought of it. Because we thought of every possible way to rescue someone at sea. This command had been around for 25 years. That's its job. We thought of everything.
Mm-hmm.
We never thought of a lifeboat being towed by a cruiser, which was what's going on. And no one ever thought, all right, how are we getting all these guys home?
Right.
So it's a.
How did you get everybody home?
We ended up going to Kenya, and then we went to a place in the Middle East, and we stopped on a base. Stayed there for like 2 weeks, and it was a funny place because we just finished this mission. We don't have any clothes. We jumped in, and it's an R&R spot for Army soldiers. Fighting in Iraq. And so they were allowed to have 3 beers a night. And so we spent all of our time trying to figure out how to talk guys out of their beer so we could have their beer. So send them up there too.
How'd you do?
Yeah, we did all right. Everyone had their fill and we were all pretty much well behaved. So that was one of the other ones. We were same guys. We were on the base when Bo Bergdahl walked off. We intercepted phone calls. We went after him 19 times trying to rescue him. Like, I had the ransom money the Taliban paid in my hands. We were that close to him, and we didn't get him. And then the Bin Laden. It's just one of those things. We just seemed to be where we needed to be. We were part of the awakening in Iraq in 2007, where they were essentially sending us out to kill Al Qaeda. So we're fighting Al Qaeda in Iraq, which is now ISIS, and we're fighting them every night. And it was just so unique. One of the things that I say in the book is that war is great training.
Mm-hmm.
Because we'd see the enemy, how they respond to us, and then we would adapt our tactics. Because we got to a level where we can't be taught tactics. You need to invent stuff.
Right.
Think outside the box. Don't rest on your laurels. Maybe there's a better way to do things. And we watch guys do it. I watch guys invent tactics to enter a room based on how we would jump out of airplanes. It made sense because we can get this many guys out this way. Why can't we get in the room safe?
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible experience.
And how many members are on your team?
For the Bin Laden raid, we took 23.
Okay.
And I've done missions that I talk about there where there's 3 of us taking down multiple houses in Afghanistan. We've done it with 50 guys. It all depends. We're very versatile.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, that's just the SEALs. We did a lot of work with Army Rangers. Great operators there. Some work with Marines, not as much as I would have liked, because I'm a big believer that Marines are problem solvers.
Yeah.
And if you need something broken, call a Marine. He will break it.
Right.
Yeah. So good or bad.
Well, let's get into the Bin Laden raid. And we have seen the interviews, we have heard about it, but when you get it down in print, where somebody can really sit down and spend that moment with you through a book.
Right. And that was my idea, telling that mission, because it's been talked about. There's been movies about it, but people want to know what it smelled like, what it felt like.
Yeah.
What's the look in your friend's eyes when we're doing this? We know we're going after this guy. And I get into some details. Again, the movies were there, but it's not what happened. It's usually simpler. Mm-hmm. And we just describing, because I was fortunate enough to be able to watch guys do stuff. I was sort of back. The way we entered is part of the tactics, and I was able to see really cool guys do really cool things. That's what I watched, and just I remember being proud. I remember watching them do stuff that made me realize these are the good guys. We're doing good stuff for the people that are here that have nothing to do with this fight. I remember we were told about Bin Laden's son Khalid, who would be in there and where by the other government agencies, and he was. And I watched one of my friends deal with him, and it was an incredible story, and that's in there. And to the point where it's like, I really hope we live through this one-way mission now, because people need to know what happened in this house. These brave soldiers, these brave operators, what they're doing. And then to the point where I happen to be one guy back to go into where we know Bin Laden's going to be. Followed a really brave guy, watched him do a really brave thing, turned a corner based on my tactics, and there's Osama Bin Laden. And that, I mean, that's then. But the story in there, we just get into a little bit of detail on that, and just the humanity of not bravery, but it's like, it's okay to be afraid, but what do you do about it? I'm tired of thinking about the threat of a bomb. I'm going to go in there and get this over with, and then you live.
Did you say anything to him?
No.
There's no time.
Nothing. We had less than a second.
If you could have said something to him.
I would, if I could have. And there's the myriad of things you think about with something like that. Like, the joking side of me says I kind of wanted to say Yahtzee. But the funny thing, not the funny thing, the serious thing would have been something. This is from the NYPD,
right?
Something about the towers, something about you did this to yourself. Mm-hmm. But it was a brief second. We went in, saw him. He's a threat. He looks different, but that's him. That's his nose. He's a threat. He needs to be taken down, and I did.
And it was three shots.
Three shots. Mm-hmm.
And you remember it still.
I can close my eyes and see it. And it's almost like I'll hear stuff like, well, the man who claims to have killed Bin Laden, I laugh it off. I'm like, well, I saw it, but I mean, you didn't, so whatever.
Right.
But I saw it, and it's one of those things that I know this is what happened. This is what happened, right. And this is the story. And again, too, that's the 23rd chapter. There's stuff in there that we did as a group, as a team.
Right.
It's just, it's almost surreal.
The book is called The Operator. And when you talk about what, when it did happen, so the shots are fired, he's gone. I mean, he dies immediately. Mm-hmm. What happens next?
Then you need to deal with the other people. Every target we'd been on, which were hundreds, there's always other people, and they're always wives, always kids. So I needed to deal with the wife that was in there, put her on the bed, and, a brief search. She's okay. And I remember that his two-year-old son was in there, and thinking how bad I felt for the two-year-old, because he has nothing to do with
sure.
the fighting. And then other operators started coming in the room, and that's when it sort of hit me. And one of the guys came over and he said, hey, are you all right? And I said, yeah, what do we do now? And he said, well, then we go find the computers. We've done this hundreds of times. And I'm like,
right.
Yeah, I'm back. You're right. And he said, yeah, man, you just killed Bin Laden. Your life just changed.
Yeah.
And that kind of sunk in, but it doesn't really ever sink in. But,
right, right.
But the honor of being asked to do that for this country. And it's a great story, great Americans. It's patriotic, and there's nothing wrong with being proud of your country.
Are you worried? I mean, I know that you've had this question before, but now years later, as we sit here today in April of 2017, are you worried for your safety, for your family's safety?
Not worried, but aware. And that's, I know how to defend myself. I've dealt with these people before, and I've got stuff in place for security, and it's something I need to live with. But
right.
it's better to be aware of it than to pretend it's not real.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And in terms of your future moving forward, what are you doing now? You said you were on a talk circuit.
I'm on a speaking circuit.
Speaking circuit.
And I've started a foundation for veterans who transition from the military to the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I did 17 years. That doesn't get a pension. So it's like, welcome to the real world without a college degree. What are you going to do?
Right.
And I know guys now that are getting out that would rather go back to combat than to try to apply for a job because it makes more sense to them.
Right.
But once they realize that their skills employers really want, they mm-hmm. want stress management, they want team building, they want loyalty, and people will hire them. So I started a foundation called Your Grateful Nation, mm-hmm. and I helped them transition, and we're just going to continue to build it. And nothing is better than getting the email from some of the people that work with me that we just transitioned so-and-so to this job with this hedge fund or with, you know, with the Fox Sports or what, which we've done. And it's just, it's so fulfilling because, and it's nice to hear the veterans say, not just for me, but for my family, your foundation is really made it happen. It's awesome.
You did this incredible thing with this incredible group of fellow operators for the military, for America. When you look back on it and you think about what is next and what, you know, we think about the victims' families of 9/11.
Oh, yeah.
And I understand that you spent some time talking with members of 9/11 families after the raid.
I was, they were good enough to give me a private tour of the memorial, which mm-hmm. everybody in the world should see. That is a bucket list item because I've never had the same experience. I go back a lot, but I donated an item that was in Bin Laden's house, my shirt. And once I was there, though, I walked into an auditorium and there were 9/11 families. And I didn't expect it, but that's the first time I ever told the story out loud. And just to have someone that the worst imaginable thing happened to them tell me that there's not closure, but this helps with the healing, mm-hmm. to put a face and a name with you got this guy. Just to hear their stories and tell them it helps, that's when I kind of realized, you know, this, if I can help them, I can help a lot of people because a lot of people were affected by 9/11.
But I could talk to you for an hour, but I know that I want to end with this, but, you know, people always hear about Navy SEAL code and about the secrecy of the missions and you don't talk about it, but here you are talking about it. And it is, as you mentioned, a very important story to tell, but backlash, is it still happening?
You know, whatever you do in any environment, some people will not be happy with you no matter what you do. And this is an elite group of alpha males.
Yeah.
And I've seen it personally with other SEAL books and other missions where I was very close to it, but didn't get to do it. And I kind of got jealous. And I understand, Chris Kyle wrote a book, American Sniper, and he sent me a copy. And my initial reaction was, why would I want a signed copy from a SEAL? And I opened it and said, great shot, Chris Kyle. I'm like, this is awesome. So, I mean, they'll be out there. I hope the ones that aren't happy come around. But there are more stories out there that I wish they would tell the American public, because I think it's important for people to know what these men and women are doing. There's women out there doing stuff that people don't even realize.
Yeah.
I almost, when they say, well, what do you think of women on the front lines? I'm like, well, it's kind of been like that. Just no one really knows.
Right.
So I hope the people that do stuff tell their story.
And you've watched all the movies.
I've seen the movies. And hopefully, like, when I decided to be a SEAL, I read the books that were written then. And that really helped me. So hopefully this does the same thing. I hope someone reads this, like, I can do this.
Did you like the movies? Did you feel that Captain Phillips maybe took some liberties, it sounds like.
Liked it. I liked Lone Survivor. I liked Zero Dark Thirty. They're good movies. They're fun to watch. The SEAL movies, you know, they talk about the SEAL code, but the Navy did make a movie about SEALs.
Yeah.
So, liked it.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I can't wait to dig into the book. And I know that our listeners are going to go out and get it as well. Where can people find the book?
They can find the book at theoperatorbook.com, and then robertjoneal.com also has that. They can find it on Amazon.
Where do I find you on social media?
At McHooyah, which is the Irish Hooyah. M-C-H-O-O-Y-A-H.
And I encourage people to get on our collective Instagram and Twitters, because I am a Twitter feed, because I'm going to take some great pictures and video, and I want to show people about this fabulous jacket that you're wearing that apparently is custom, that has a saying in the back collar.
Well, when we were flying into to kill Bin Laden, somewhere along the lines, I said to myself, freedom itself was attacked this morning by a faceless coward, and freedom will be defended. Mm-hmm. And that's President Bush talking on 9/11, addressing the world. So on the custom suit underneath the collar, I have it say, and freedom will be defended.
And freedom will be defended on the back collar of these custom suits that you can buy. Can we buy that? Can I get this for somebody for Christmas?
Yeah, you got to look at Not Standard. And I'm going to call them right after this interview, because I'm dropping their plug and they're going to give me some free stuff.
There you go. All right. Well, you look great. The book is great. And your story is amazing. And might I say, from all of us here at Fox News, thank you for your service.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me today.
And I'm so glad that you came to spend a few moments with us here at Fox News. You've been listening to Robert O'Neill. I'm Laura Engel, and this is Fox News Radio.